You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Michael K. is on the radio today. And he ain't afraid to say what he's thinking.
It's the Michael K. Show.
Michael K. is on the radio today. Turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Tuesday. It's April 9th, 2024. It's a beautiful day out, but I'm going to surprise all of you.
In
you
might
have tuned in and said, well, they're going to open with the national championship. You know, UConn wins and the margin of victory averaged 23 points in all six games. No. You might say, well, they're going to open with the Yankees. They're 9-2. Nestor Cortez was brilliant. Two hits, eight shutout innings. Not going to do that either. What we're going to do is going to start with Diamond Notes, brought to you by London Jewelers, and talk about an impressive Mets win yesterday in a house of horrors for them, and a very important day for the Atlanta Braves when they honored the 50th anniversary of Hank Aaron breaking Babe Ruth's record, falling behind 4-0. And then winning the game 8-7. There's a team that was 0-5, but they're 4-1 their last five games. And it does prove anything, Don and Peter. And we say this every year. Nobody listens. It's a really long season. You can bounce back, especially from 0-5. Now, I know things didn't look good because they weren't hitting, but they are hitting. They're going to get back J.D. Martinez, or they're going to get him soon, and that's going to only make them better. Don, that's a nice win for this team.
Well, it's unexpected. It's the Braves. It's a house of horrors, and you're down 4-0 going to the fourth. Your starting pitcher got DFA'd today, so Teran, I guess his era is over. He had a pitch count of 75, and he was at like 50 by the end of the third inning. And you're down 4-0. You're like, all right, this is it. This is over. You don't have much of a bullpen to speak of. And then you come back, you tie the game, only to give the lead back up. And then you take an 8-5 lead. Then you see that start to dwindle. And then the big play by Taylor keeps it an 8-6 game at the time, and then you end up winning the game 8-7 when your bullpen's depleted, your starting pitcher gave you nothing, and Nimmo finally woke up.
That's right.
And that's a nice win. As you said, since that ugly start of 0-5, the team's lost just once, and the only reason they lost on Saturday, Michael, they had a lead against the Reds that just didn't have anybody in the bullpen to be able to close it out. So I don't know how sustainable any of this is, but to go up against the Braves and win a game that, in all likelihood, what was the win probability down 4-0 going to the fourth? Like, that ESPN win probability was probably down to like less than 10%, and then you win the game, and now you're 4-6, and let's see what happens.
Yeah, 0-5, a distant memory.
Oh yeah.
Honestly, it's one of the silly things about baseball. We're in the business of talking about it every day, but I mean, what are we talking about? Although I will say,
you know what it is, Peter? I think that people are so obsessed with football, and every game in football is huge because it's one of 17. So I think people transfer that thought process to baseball. Now, you start off 0-15, it's hard to recover from that. 1-15, like the Marlins are 1-10. They're probably not recovering from that.
Right, they're getting close.
Right, they're getting close to like, bagging their season. The Mets, I don't think they're a great team. I think it's going to be very tough for them to get the third wild card.
Yeah, but the hopes that you had, if you're a Met fan, and the idea that was sort of being put forth by Steve Cohen of what this team could be this year, the way they could overachieve. Right. I'll just say this. You may not believe it, Michael, but it's certainly back on the table. They could absolutely still be that team.
When the last time they were 0-5 was an 0-5, And then Beltran hit that home run. They beat the Braves. They go on a six-game winning streak. They ended up going 83-79. Now, that's not anything great, but in this day and age with a third wild card, that means you're going to be playing meaningful games in September.
Right.
You might not get eliminated till the last week of the season. I think a Met fan would take that, Michael. Finish above 500, have meaningful games in September.
You want to be in it at the trade deadline, because then I believe that Cullen will flash his wallet and he'll make a trade for a guy who makes a lot of money to make a run at it. That's not going to impact the future. So that's what you're aiming for. And you know, if you want to look at like histories of teams starting off poorly, you don't have to go that far. In 1998, the Yankees were 1-4. They won 114 games. Now, this Met team's not going to do that. I think the bullpen is short. I think the back end's okay, but it's not deep enough. I don't think they have enough starting pitching. And I don't like the fact that Senga, we haven't heard anything about it.
Nothing.
So that doesn't bode well. I just don't think they have enough starting pitching, which they could have gone out and gotten. They decided not to do it. We'll see how Hauser pitches tonight. But do you change that? Like, they're playing a four-game set with the Braves. So going in, you probably go, I want to split.
Right.
Well, they won the first game. You getting greedy now?
Well, I mean, you'd like to. I'd still take the split, honestly. You know, it wasn't like you played clean last night either. I mean, you won a game when Lindor goes 0-4. Alonso goes 0-4. Alvarez goes 0-5. All right, so, you know, the guys that are supposed to hit didn't. But, you know, you got a great night from Nimmo, 4-4 with 5 RBIs. You know, Beatty's been really nice, Michael. 3-5. He's batting .333. He's been pretty good defensively. Stewart finally gets a hit, and it's a big home run in the game. You know, and Taylor had the big defensive play in the ninth inning. So, you know, there's still a lot of things that need to get cleaned up. I'm not going to get greedy. Yeah, of course, I want to win every game. But if you end up getting a split with taking 2 out of 3 from the Reds, and then you got the Royals coming up this weekend, and then you get to 500, get above 500, and you start to play ball. It's interesting, Michael, you brought up the trade deadline, because I think some Met fans were thinking, be out of it at the deadline. Let's see if we can get something for Martinez. Maybe you decide to trade Alonso rather than toy with the possibility of losing him in free agency and get nothing in return. Maybe you trade Marte at the deadline. But now, if you keep your head above water, as you said, Cohen doesn't worry about adding salary if he thinks he's got a chance to make it. Remember, he said he'd be disappointed if they missed the playoffs. So I'm sure he'll be aggressive that the team's still alive. So if you're rooting for that, and I am, That's what you hope for. Just keep your head above 500 and just keep trying to win series and see what you can make out of this season.
And in the wild card era, you really have to recalibrate the way you think. The Diamondbacks, they sneak into the playoffs last year with 84 wins, 2 more than the Yankees, who had a disaster of a season. And they went to the World Series. So you get hot at the right time, you never know. So, you know, 0-5 is a distant memory. They're one game under 500. If they could do some damage here, they come home. They have Gooden's retirement on Sunday.
Wow, already?
Yeah.
Well, why not?
Well, 2 games under, 4-6. So they still have work to do to get to 500.
6-1.
Oh, they're 4-6?
Okay. How cool, I don't know if you saw the highlights, Michael. How cool was it to see the Braves wearing the old uniforms for the 50th anniversary of Hank Aaron's home run?
I thought it was cool.
I mean, those are ugly uniforms, but it was cool that they brought them back for that moment, acknowledging that moment.
And the big hero, I don't know if you realize this, Peter, was J.D. Stewart. You know, he did a good job.
He's not going to get that, Michael.
You got it.
Oh, because it's DJ Stewart.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. There you go.
He's not going to get that.
You know, and Michael, you know what The Rock's nickname is when he's not wrestling, right?
The Final Boss?
No, in terms of his
name.
No, everyone calls him JD.
Why JD?
Dwayne Johnson. Dwayne Johnson, that's right.
Oh, JD, I see what you did. See, I wasn't going to get that either.
No. We tried.
Those are Diamond Notes, brought to you by London Jewelers. Visit London Jewelers today at any of their 7 locations, including the Americana Mall and the mall at Short Hills. Now, let's talk a little bit about UConn, why I find what they did so impressive. You know, last year, I think their average margin of victory was 13. No, it was 20. 20 points per game. This year, it's 23. Now, the last time any team repeated was Florida. But if you look at Florida, Billy Donovan's team, all 5 starters returned. All 5. They could have gone to the NBA draft. They didn't. All 5 starters returned.
Right.
This UConn team, lost five of the top eight players on the team to graduation or the NBA. So this is a completely different group, and they averaged 23 points of victory in the six games. This guy's a great coach. His system works. He's built a culture there. It's unbelievable. And, you know, you watch Edie play. I don't know if it's going to translate into a big NBA career, because Klingon was physical with him, made him, you know, fight for every single point. It doesn't seem like he has a real great touch. I know he's a two-time college player of the year. I don't know if he's going to be anything special in the NBA. He's got size, and you can't teach that. But UConn had a great game plan. They didn't double him, and they dared Purdue, the other players, to hit three-pointers, and they couldn't do it. And it was a close game for a while, but UConn's just too deep and too good and too smart and too well-coached, and they annihilated them. Good for them. Congratulations. Two championships in a row. And, you know, Don said this yesterday. He's right. You know, we talk about would he be interested in Kentucky, and he said his wife might divorce him. But the bottom line is this, everybody. This is a top-flight college now. Since they won their first championship with Jim Calhoun. In that time, obviously, they've won six now. Nobody else has come close. They are the cream of the crop in Little Stores, Connecticut. It's unbelievable. They have six titles. The only teams with more titles, UCLA with 11, and that was a different world, and Kentucky with eight. Congratulations to UConn. Danny Hurley is a special, special coach.
By the time I checked out the game, I heard it started well. By the time I got there to check it out, it was already not worth watching. I was in, and I was out.
Do you think I'm a bad parent? I let Charlie stay up.
Till when?
Till the end.
Really? 9:20 tip.
Yeah.
So it finished, what, 11:45?
No, about 11:20.
Oh.
He's got school tomorrow, today?
Yeah, had a lot of stuff. He's got school. He's got something after school. He's got his first flag football practice, so he's going to be exhausted. But, I mean, isn't that what's fun about being a kid? You know, I want to stay up for a big event.
Absolutely.
He's really into it. So I let him stay up.
You did the right thing, in my opinion.
I think I did, too.
It is a shame, though. And, again, we play this old man, get off my lawn kind of thing every year.
I mean, what are you doing?
Honestly, 9:20, really? So Michael's got to make a decision for his 8-year-old.
Nine.
A 9-year-old to stay up way past his bedtime to see the end of the game.
Well, the West Coast got to get some. Give him some.
I'll stop with the West Coast. No one cares.
No one cares about the West Coast.
Yeah, I think they care.
They don't.
You don't think?
Not a soul.
What if UCLA is in the final?
Maybe.
Otherwise, just don't worry about it.
They started
at 4:30. It would be on at 4:30 if you had your way.
No, you start at 8:20 and it's 5:20. Most
5:20 is tough, man.
I'm all wet on this because they're executives. They know television. I don't, so they obviously know better than I do.
You weren't even sure of the time difference.
But that was back when I was nine. I'm 56 years old. I figured it out sometime between 9 and 56. But we've had this conversation before, guys. I'm sorry. You know, basketball's obviously my fourth sport, but if you can miss anything, it's the first couple of minutes of a basketball game. But we're so worried about the first couple of minutes of the West Coast missing a game when historically they don't seem to care about anything. But the East Coast, it's okay to sacrifice the end of the game where the majority of the people are, where the two teams that are playing are from that time zone. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't.
I guess
people are going to watch the game. So you think it's any better than that it's 6:20?
Yeah, but
I mean, we live in a world. Is 9 to 5 even a thing anymore? People work when they work.
I think it's still a thing.
Well, apparently it is. But again, you are willing to sacrifice the East Coast at the end of the game so that the West Coast can see the beginning of the game. How does that make sense? Are the majority of the people on the East Coast or the West Coast?
I say slight majority to the East Coast.
So let's have them shut the game off early when it's in doubt so that people on the West Coast can see the tip?
This one just doesn't bother me at all because there are a few things in my life
But wait till you have Guadalupe.
But I don't mean that part, though. I just mean it's one of the few things that's built into my brain. You always know the NCAA tips around 9:15. Hey, guess what? Super Bowl, they give you a 6:20. You got a nice 620 for the Super Bowl, but for some reason they play the Fakakta final on a Monday, and it's always 9 o'clock.
And it does show you one thing, Peter. It doesn't matter the time you play if it's a weekend. Now, this is a Monday because the women's Final Four was at 3 o'clock, and it set records. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. If it's an afternoon on the weekend, it's the same thing as a night. It just is.
I guess what the executives are saying is that if people miss the beginning of the game, they may not ever watch the game. I don't believe that. I think we live in an era now where if the game's competitive, people are going to pick up on it if it becomes exciting. I'm picking on the West Coast because there's a lot of people that are passionate out in the West Coast, even though L.A. in particular is always looked upon as a casual sports city. But I just think that to have it come at the for Michael to have to make a decision to keep his son up near midnight to watch a game so that the guy who works 9 to 5 in California can see the tip and get home in time for the tip. That doesn't make sense to me. But hey, they put the game on TBS. They even put it on CBS.
I did. It was really. I pushed parenting boundaries too.
Oh, really?
Because he was rooting for UConn. I let him stay up. He's become a big UConn fan. He knew all the players, which was shocking.
Really?
To me. And then right at the end of the game, we each had a glass of scotch, which I thought was nice.
No, all Michael, right, it's fine. It's the final. It's the last game.
I mean, if you can't have scotch for a final.
And his team won.
And also, he's probably all hyped up. You want to mellow him out. Yeah. Get him to sleep.
Yeah, pretty much.
Some people, not a lot of people, but some people may look at that as good parenting.
So, some people would just refer to it as Monday.
Now, also, you see, Peter, you noticed this, right?
Yeah.
John has a true dislike for the West Coast. That's why he never pursued the Kraken job. He just hates that side of the country.
That's an interesting take.
Loves Canada.
It's true.
But I love Portland. Portland, last I saw, was on the West Coast.
That's a great point.
Why do I have a hatred? I want to show my love for the East Coast. I'm an East Coast guy.
No doubt about it.
And I don't want my friend, to have to deprive his son of sleep to watch a college basketball game. I don't think it's right.
Don't you worry. He's fine.
You don't know that.
Charlie? That's fun. The fun part's staying up. That's half the battle.
Yeah, but then the other half of the battle is to get through school and get through flag football.
Listen, I did it.
I know
he
you
can
did
do it. I did it. All right?
Well,
and you know what? And when the Orioles were playing on the West Coast, you know what I was doing?
Sleeping.
Oh, no. Well, yes, but I would get in bed. I would love those 10-20 starts. I'd get in bed, and I'd listen to John Miller. I'd smoke myself a heater in bed, maybe wash it down with some scotch, and go to sleep to the soothing sounds of the greatest voice in the history of the game.
And then, thank you. And then look at the wall where the Farrah Fawcett poster was.
Farrah Fawcett.
Come on.
How old am I? It would have been Kathy Ireland. Talk to me about my age range.
You know
Pam
what?
Anderson.
Beauty doesn't age, okay? Especially if it's
Farrah Fawcett didn't mean anything to me, though. She was a name. Farrah Fawcett was just the name that I heard referenced.
I was always a Cheryl Ladd guy.
I've heard you say that before.
Over Fawcett.
Yes.
Come on.
Well, listen, it's all taste, Michael.
What's wrong with you?
At least I was formulating this opinion while you were knee-deep in box scores.
You know, it's a great point. Oh, you know what? Point God. It's 317, and Don has hit the point God.
I do have the Yankees starting lineup already.
Of course you do. Thank God.
On 98.7 ESPN. It's brought to you by Bigelow Tea and Serta Pro Painters, two of my favorite companies. Gleyber Torres leads off. He plays second. Juan Soto and Wright bat second. Hitting third, center fielder Aaron Judge. Cleaning up the DH, Giancarlo Stanton. Please, the guy who called in on Friday, please, please, I beg you, call in now. You wanted to release Stanton. So please do that.
He's 75. I think he's batting 75 points better than Judge. Maybe they get rid of Judge now.
Unbelievable. Anthony Rizzo at first will bat fifth, batting sixth, and leading the American League in hitting. Anthony Volpe, he's a shortstop, batting seventh. He had three hits yesterday as well. The left fielder, Alex Verdugo, John Bertie. The third baseman bats in the eighth slot and batting ninth and catching Austin Wells with Carlos Rodon, who's very quietly putting together two good starts, and let's see what he does against a bad Marlins team. That's tonight's Yankees starting lineup brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Bigelow Tea is a proud supporter of the Michael Kay Show and the official hot tea of the New York Yankees and Serta Pro Painters. When choosing a painting professional for your home or business, the choice is simple. Choose happy. Choose Serta Pro Painters.
You give good lineup.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Slick in Merrick. What's up, Slick?
Hey, how's it going? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, perfect.
Michael, I got a question for you, and I want you to be completely honest.
Mm. Yep.
Are you lying about your height? Because the pictures you posted on Twitter, it looks like Paul O'Neill's a lot taller than you. It looks like Eli Manning's a lot taller than you. You're listed 6'4". I don't know if this is a Dwayne The Rock Johnson situation. Just come forward. You could come clean. Whoa. I just want to know how tall you are.
I am legitimately 6'4", and I know the picture that you're referencing. And Eli's towering, right, Slick? He's towering over me and O'Neill. Now, O'Neill is taller than me. I think he's 6'5". But Eli must be 6'6". He's gigantic. You don't realize how big he is.
All right. Fair enough.
Slick,
that's all I got for you.
I am a legitimate strapping 6'4". Strapping.
Hmm.
You don't believe it, Don?
No, I'm just looking at the picture because I know how tall you are. I've worked with you for over 20 years. You are the height you say you are, but in this picture, now maybe you're a little hunched over, maybe a little bit for the picture.
And also, in terms of if he's forward of me, then it seems like it makes him even seem taller, but he is taller than me.
I'm not going to say anything. I don't want to give away state secrets.
No, what?
You've always told me, because right. You don't need to do it anymore. But when you were of a little bit huskier,
yeah,
and I was morbidly obese, and nobody said a word. And then Ryan Hurley was always a little on the chubby side. You would tell us that when we take a picture, kind of stick your chin out just a little bit, and kind of
right,
like
so you
move
don't see
forward.
The fat neck.
Now you don't need to do that anymore.
But I still probably do it.
But I think that's what you're doing in this picture. You're still kind of leaning forward. Eli's clearly like leaning back. You can tell by the way he's leaning back, and Paul doesn't have a care in the world. That's why you look maybe an inch shorter. I think you're the exact same height as Eli.
So Eli comes into the booth on Saturday, right? It's Saturday or Sunday. I think it was Saturday. Yeah, Saturday, the night game, and. Our producer, Troy Benjamin, is a clothes horse. I mean, he likes designer stuff. Eli sits down, puts the headset on, and Troy goes, "Is that a Bruno Cucinelli jacket?" in his ear. And Eli puts his finger to his mouth, shh. And I just said something like, I said, "That's the Manning cast money," and he just burst out laughing. And then I looked it up. Peter, this jacket's like 12. It was just like, it was a nothing jacket. It was $1,200.
Yeah, but you know what's sick about that?
He didn't even feel it.
He probably didn't even pay for it.
Oh, see, that's different.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So even if he went to Nordstrom, though, and took his credit card out, he still wouldn't feel it.
Wouldn't even know. But that's what's so money about money and how money finds money, that the guy that could easily afford the $1,200 jacket, he wouldn't even bother him, ends up getting it for free.
Well, I mean, I went over at WrestleMania and said hello to some hip-hop celebs that were there.
Okay.
All right. You're a hip-hop celeb.
Sure. Well, they treated me that way. Meek Mill.
Because Philly. That made sense.
That's right. 2 Chainz. Drewski, the comedian, who's very, very popular in the hip-hop world. Michael Rubin was sitting over there. Mm. Wale was there, but I somehow didn't see him. He was sitting like on the other side. And I'm talking to Drewski, the comedian. It's his first time. He had never been to a wrestling show. He loved it when he was a kid, but never in his life had ever even gone to one show. His first time going to a show, he was watching The Rock from the front row at WrestleMania. You think he paid for those tickets?
No.
Celebrity. He's got millions and millions of followers. He's invited to be there. Money finds money.
Nope. See, but I have a question I've always wondered about. Maybe you can answer this, Peter.
I am very wise. There's a good chance I can.
So, I mean, I've been blessed. I've done okay in life. But if I go to a store, a price will turn me off whether I buy it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not of the mindset, I don't care what it costs. When does that kick in?
From what I can tell from the celebrities that I've known over the course of my life, I don't know that it ever kicks in.
Good. Then I want to keep that because I don't want to be immune.
I really don't know. I mean, I've never talked to anyone about money who's got, over... probably $10 to $20 million about money. So I don't know. But I get the sense they're always looking for a discount. They're always looking for a hookup.
See, there's a men's store It's a clothing store because there's women clothes there too in the town that I live.
Mm-hmm.
And I just walk in there just to look around, and the prices are insane.
What kind of stuff are we talking about?
Like, you know, a pair of pants for like $700. You know, a sweater for like, I would never, ever, when I could go to Kohl's and you wouldn't know the difference. And like somebody who I know said, oh, but the service is unbelievable. I don't care if you spit at me. If it's a good bargain, I'll get it. I don't care about service. But there are people in there just taking like 5-6 sweaters and going up and buying it.
I know. I've witnessed this experience myself of people just walking out of luxury stores with bags and bags and bags. And I go, when do you get to that point?
Right. And you were walking out of, you know, UBS Arena with bags and bags.
And it was one free sweater, but yeah.
You know, we have a special returning guest coming up. You know who it is, Don, right?
Yes, I do.
Trey Davies.
That's right. It's been a while.
Yeah, love Trey Davies.
Wingo.
Yeah, big fan.
He's got himself a new podcast with Kevin Frazier.
Yeah, I know he does. It's on my network, Wondery, where I do the show with Beetle.
Oh, how great is that? Everything's aligned.
I read promos for Trey Davies' show every week.
Oh, I can't wait to talk to Trey Davies and Kevin.
Yeah, you think he reads promos for you?
I think he has.
All right.
We'll find out.
Well, yeah, we will find out.
Yeah. Well, you know what else we'll find out? If we want to bet, how do we do it with FanDuel?
Well, it's playoff time, Michael. In the NBA and the NHL, all right? We are here, and baseball's in full swing. So FanDuel's your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed, $150 win or lose, all right? Bet on everything, slap shots, home runs, slam dunks, whatever it is for you, all on an app that's safe, secure, super easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Peter and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, 21 and over and physically present in New York. First online, real money wager only, $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, it's game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Busy night in New York. The Knicks are in Chicago facing the Bulls, with coverage starting at 7:30. That's on 98.7. Rangers and the Islanders face off on the island. Rangers coverage on 1050 and Isles coverage on the ESPN New York app starting at 6:30. Yankees Marlins at 7:05. Coverage starts at 6 on, yes, Mets Braves at 7:20. That's on SNY. And the Devils host the Maple Leafs at 7. That's game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. We love this man, don't we, Peter? We love him.
Oh, I'm a huge fan.
His name is Trey Davies Wingo. He goes by Trey, and he joins us now. Hi, Trey. How you doing?
Oh, my old friends. It is so good to hear your voices. How are you?
Is life good for you? That's all we care about.
Well, let's see. It's 9:31 in the morning where I am, and I'm staring out at the beautiful Pacific Ocean, and the wind is whistling through the palm trees. So, yeah, life is okay with me, and I hope things are wonderful for all of you.
So
as well.
You're in Hawaii?
Yes, sir.
Oh, nice.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Wow.
Now, your co-host on the podcast, Alternate Roots, has joined us as well, Kevin Frazier. Kevin, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How you doing?
How are y'all doing? Trey is in Hawaii right now. I'm at work, but Trey's in Hawaii, yes.
Does that make you jealous? Because it makes me jealous.
You're damn right it makes me jealous. Of course it does. You can only see, Trey will hit it sometimes when he's walking back from a little, golf or maybe some pickleball, Wow. Good life. It's a good life.
It is a good life for that man. I feel like Tre'Davious, whenever we talked to him, he was always in the middle of doing something luxurious. How did you guys come up with Alternate? And by the way, when I've been promoting it on Me and Beatles podcast, I'm going with the word routes. Yes. I'm going Alternate Routes.
Yes. Routes.
Yes. Yes. That is right. There was actually, Kevin can attest to this, there was actually a big discussion about that. And they said, we're going to go routes unless we're promoting it in Canada. Then we're going to go roots. Or if the Roots Canadian clothing company decides to sponsor the entire podcast, then we'll just change it to Alternate Roots the entire time.
It's funny because I said Alternate Roots. And I R-O-U-T-E-S to me is roots. But, what do I know?
You could be right. Who says we're wrong? We're just two idiots.
True. So what is the podcast about?
Have you seen the movie Sliding Doors?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. No, well, think the whole Sliding Doors of sports. All those moments, all those things that happened but didn't happen. All the things that we wanted to happen, like, for instance, what if Barry Bonds had become a Yankee? What if the Chris Paul trade had gone through and he'd become a Laker? What if Drew Brees had stuck in Miami? All those sports woulda, coulda, shoulda, or what ifs we go through each and every time. Trey, I cut you off. You go.
All good. Yeah. Like, for example, Michael, I think you'll appreciate this one. I had dinner with Joe Torre out here a couple of nights ago, and we were reminiscing about his incredible run with the Yankees. And I brought up a story that I had heard recently and asked him about it. And you probably know this. 1996, Derek Jeter's first full year in the bigs, he had a terrible spring, right? He wasn't hitting. Tony Fernandez broke his arm on a bad throw and in a spring training game. And George was really adamant about, I don't think we can start this guy. And Clyde King said, yeah, we need to send him down and we need to make a trade. So there was a trade on the table before the 1996 season began where the Yankees would trade for Felix Fermin. Derek Jeter would go down to the minors, and included in that trade to Seattle was a unheralded reliever by the name of Mariano Rivera.
Yep.
And end of that meeting, George, Clyde King, Joe Torre, and Stick Michael all got together, and Stick and Joe convinced George and Clyde to say, hey, man, listen, let's start with Jeter, and if it doesn't work out, then we can do things. So, as you well know, Michael, they started Jeter. He had a home run in his first game. I think that game was in Cleveland, right?
Wow. Yep.
A frozen rope to home run in left field, and then made an unbelievable catch, his signature over-the-shoulder catch to end a rally, and that's all it took, and he was off and running. But the Yankees were that close to potentially trading away Mariano Rivera, and talk about a sliding door moment. What happens if they had traded Mariano Rivera and sent Derek Jeter down? How would that dynasty that we know now, how much different would that be?
And also, somebody should get love on that, too. Willie Randolph was in that meeting and stood up and said you're going to give this guy the first couple of months. And he really spoke up for him. And George said, all right, it's on your back if it doesn't work out.
Yeah. So that's the whole point. You take that one moment, take it the other way. Because the Mariners had just beaten, as you know, the Yankees in the postseason the year before under Buck. So now they get Mariano Rivera, and who knows what happens with the Yankees going forward.
I think the draft is always a great direction to go with this. Is that something that you will talk about? Because I remember doing doing the pre for 16 years with Greg Buddle, and you could say this for anybody that's drafted. I'm like, Greg made a home on Long Island, met his wife, he works in New York. If you were drafted by Seattle, you have a completely different family, a completely different job, and it had nothing to do with you. You didn't have a choice. So I would think the draft would be like a perfect show for something like this.
Oh, Don, and, you're 100% right. There's a
we look, especially the NBA draft, how much it would change. How many, like, little, just a little movement, what a big difference it makes. It changes everything, and it is really the escalating like sliding doors that happen. It's wild. We did a great one on the NBA draft that's coming up.
I got to ask you guys. Oh, go ahead. You go ahead, Trey.
Yeah, Peter, real quick. We ended up with one of those NBA drafts where somehow instead of Barack Obama, Charles Barkley is the first African American president. It all makes sense in the podcast if you just follow it.
All right, got to ask you, apropos as we get ready for the Masters, you guys just did one about what happens if the Tiger Elon Woods debacle doesn't happen. Where did you guys end up landing on how different things would be for golf and Tiger without the divorce? Trey?
Well, I mean, yeah, the first thing I would say is that Jack Nicklaus no longer is the holder of the record for most majors. I mean, that was the beginning of a stretch where, you know, along with the injuries and everything else, that Tiger really was out of it when he was in his prime. And there's no doubt in my mind, if that had been able to be held together, we're talking about a guy who probably has 20 majors right now, and would continue to be the driving brand in golf. But also, Kevin, I believe in that episode, took it in a completely different direction from a business perspective, if I'm not mistaken, Kevin.
Yeah, in a business perspective, you have to look at how big Tiger becomes and all the different brands, how big Nike Golf becomes. And they never stop selling golf clubs. They continue to sell golf clubs. Yeah. But Tiger blows up and changes the entire world economy because of who he is and what he is. You think of the billions that he would have made and the billions he would have made for Nike.
Now, Trey, I'm curious, because the Masters is this week. Are you still as giddy and excited every time Tiger plays golf?
I am. And at this point now, Michael, it's just, you just want to see flashes. John Daly said something really interesting sometime last year. He said, if Tiger would just take the medical exemption and take a cart, which he could do now with a medical exemption like Daly has, he'd probably win 3 or 4 tournaments a year. His swing is still that good. His legs are just held together with, chicken wire and tissue paper after that car accident. So everyone that sees him hit the ball says he still can hit the ball as well as he possibly can, but over those 4 rounds, it's just almost impossible for him to hold up his rally. And that's the difficult part.
That's like an interesting future episode for you guys. What if Tiger were to take the medical exemption? Because it's so true. I understand his pride, but I mean, walking around that many miles on one weekend. Now, Kevin, we have a little treat for you if you've never heard it. And by the way, before I make fun of Trey, Trey and I bond over the fact that we are both super fans of LT Gray. And
correct.
I'm kind of where you're at, Trey. I'm still excited to watch him get a shot or two. It's not the same. I'm not waiting for him to win again necessarily, but this happened a few years ago while we were in mid-weekly interview with Trey and Tiger was playing.
Ooh, Tiger just did it close on 10.
And we still play that regularly to this day when discussing Tiger.
It's immense.
Yeah.
Has he told the story about meeting Tiger? Has he told you that story yet?
Let's do it now.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So, Trey, that's a good one.
Tell the story. In Atlanta.
Yeah.
With Stu.
In Atlanta. So the weird part about this, of course, this took place at the 2003 NBA All-Star Game in Atlanta, which makes all the sense in the world. But Kevin and I were both there working for ESPN. It was actually the only event Kevin and I actually worked together at ESPN at our time there. So Stuart was there as well, and I got a text from Stuart. Said, hey, man, come on down. I'm having lunch in the Ritz-Carlton restaurant. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I walk down to the Ritz-Carlton restaurant. I walk in, and Stu is there, and he's having lunch with Tiger Woods. Now, he didn't say, hey, I'm having lunch with Tiger Woods. He's like, just come on in, I'm having lunch. So I walk in, and I'm like, oh, my God, And Tiger looks up, and he goes, oh, hey, Trey. And I try to be so cool and go, oh, hey, Tiger, how are you? And could barely get the words out. And so we talked for about 10, 15 minutes, and then I had to go somewhere and do something. So I'm so excited that I just met Tiger Woods. I'm going back to the lobby elevator, and I'm on my phone. I'm calling my dad, and the lobby elevator opens up. And, as an idiot, you're supposed to wait to elevator people to get out before you get in. But I am just so out of my head. I walk in, barge into the elevator, and run this huge brick wall of a human being because my face is buried in my phone. And I hear this voice go, "Wingo, watch where you're going." And it was Michael Jordan. I'm like, "Oh, sorry, MJ, my bad."
Oh, wow.
In a 15-minute span, I bet Tiger ran my face right in the chest of Michael Jordan. I probably should have just died then. It would have been good.
Now, Kevin, we used to have Trey on every week, and I just saw how different we all are. So Trey is in love with Tiger and golf, and Don has said he's on record as saying if they were playing the Masters in his backyard, he would actually call the police to have them removed.
Wouldn't glance out the window. Wouldn't even glance.
Wouldn't even look out the window.
You don't care. You're like, get out.
I know. I just. What's less than zero besides a movie?
Yeah. A really good movie starring Robert Downey Jr.
Why don't you? Clearly, you don't get into the tradition. And
no, that's Fugazi tradition.
But you mean the fake birds? Fake birds in Augusta?
A lot of bad tradition that we conveniently forget about because you guys are so in love with it.
No,
you're right. I think that's fair. That's 100% fair.
But I'm not going to go stand on the soapbox. I just don't like golf. I don't get it. And I've been on record that people that love golf, it comes to the expense of the love of their family.
Wow, strong.
Well, that could be true.
Hold on. Peter. I'm going to spark a debate, and this is something that we talked about and touched on during our Barry Bonds segment, Barry Bonds going to the Yankees. And we talked about him being in the Hall of Fame. And one of the things I said is the Hall of Fame pisses me off so much because for so many years, they let a lot of bad guys in. And for so many years, a lot of guys got it, and they weren't playing against the best competition. And so now to hold it up and say, well, during this era, these guys had steroids. Well, it's like having steroids when you don't have to face Cool Papa Bell or Satchel Paige or Josh Gibson or any of those folks.
Josh Gibson.
Got in. So it's a lot. There's a lot of that out there, I think.
Well, I've got a good idea for one of your shows coming up. The Yankees, we're going to sign Albert Bellin. You could ask Joe Torre about this, and they were going to let Bernie Williams go. What would have happened then? How would the world have changed?
There would have been a lot of people beat up in the AL East. That's about the only thing I can think of.
So, Trey, why don't you tell us how we could get the podcast Alternate Routes?
There you go. It drops every week, and you can get it on Wondery Plus. Ad-free, or you can sign up wherever you get your podcast, whether it's Spotify, Google, Apple Podcasts. They're available every week. And Peter, I think we're going to do one just for you, because I don't know if you know this story. I don't know how far we up against the break here. But do you remember when Tiger won the U.S. Open at 12 in 2000, when he was 12-under and second place was 3-over? I mean, he beat the field by 15.
Yep.
He had to finish up his Friday round Saturday morning, and he stood on 18 and pumped a tee ball out of bounds and yelled a big F-bomb that NBC had to apologize for. But what most people don't know is that when Stevie Williams, his caddy, reached into the bag, there was one golf ball left. He had forgotten that they had been practice putting in his room the night before and had taken out 6 golf balls. So that was the last golf ball in Tiger's bag. And he's standing on the 18th of Pebble with the Pacific Ocean on the left. And if you hit it out of bounds, he's disqualified immediately, but because he doesn't have a ball to finish the tournament. We would have missed the greatest display of major golf in the history of the sport. How would Tiger's legacy have changed if he had pumped that ball out of bounds, and instead of being the greatest display of golf we've ever seen, it would be like the biggest mental mistake in the history of the sport.
Well, which, by the way, I did not even realize that was a thing. I did not even realize, Don, if you ran out of balls, you're disqualified?
Yeah, absolutely. And Stevie was debating, should I tell him or not? And Stevie said, I'm not going to tell him because I don't want to be nervous about it. But he was sweating his ass off when Tiger took a mighty swing with that ball, hoping it landed somewhere on the earth.
Well, this sounds like a great idea. And I'm going to tell you another thing, guys. It actually could translate to a television show, too.
Oh, Kevin and I thought about that.
We thought about that in our contract, right, Trey?
There might be some language in the contract referring specifically to that. So you are a perceptive young man, Michael.
Yes, I am.
Wait, does that mean, Trey and Kevin, that your guy's show doesn't appear on Amazon Prime video version like my show does? Do you guys not have that in your deal?
What are you saying?
I'm saying my show with Beatle over the top is available on video every week on Amazon Prime.
We're working in that direction.
Uh-huh.
You know, Michael, Michael, you know what that says to me?
What's that?
Me and Beetle got rooked.
Yep.
And money finds. Yeah, exactly. Money finds money. Trey and Kevin, they're legends. They know what to do. They said, no, no, no. You want to put us on Amazon Prime, you come with another bag. That's
right.
What it sounds like.
I love it. Trey, Kevin, thanks for coming on, and good luck with the podcast.
But friends, it is always good to chat with you. I hope all is well, and I just want to give you the warmest greetings from the islands, and hopefully we'll talk soon, okay?
Later, guys.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys. Good luck.
Go play pickleball in the sun, okay?
All right.
No, you're just out there right now. See you.
Goodbye. That's Alternate Routes, Trey Wingo and Kevin Frazier, wherever you get your podcast. Hey, I talk for a living. Whether I'm in the studio or at the ballpark, I'm sure to have a cup of Bigelow tea by my side. There's nothing like fueling my voice, body, and soul with only the finest tea. Bigelow Earl Grey, this delightful blend of black tea and real bergamot oil, is not your ordinary tea. It's a broadcaster's dream come true. Keeps me energized and focused throughout the broadcast, ensuring I deliver nothing but the best for my loyal listeners. So join the millions of fans that make Bigelow Tea, number one in New York. Bigelow Tea, the official hot tea of the New York Yankees.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
I'm going to give you an in-depth look at the Yankees a little bit later on, but right now the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Bet365. This is from Katie Sharp, who she unearthed statistics that are unbelievable. All right, so Yankees age 22 or younger with 15 or more hits, 5 or more walks, and 5 or more extra base hits in the first 10 games of the season. Anthony Volpe this year, Derek Jeter in 1997, and a guy named Lou Gehrig in 1926. That's
who?
It. Lou Gehrig.
Oh, yeah.
The Iron Horse to you.
I'm familiar.
That was the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Bet365. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Now, we're going to talk to Buster only at 4 o'clock about the proliferation of arm injuries in Major League Baseball. But, Don, this is a big night for both the Islanders and the Rangers. Islanders right now have that third playoff spot.
Yeah.
So things have fallen right for them. But the Rangers need this game to, like, nail some things down. And the Islanders definitely need this game. So let's talk about how big it is for both.
Well, let's start it off with the Islanders because it's much bigger for them because they need to get into the playoffs. They've got the 3 seed in the Metro with 85 points, 77 games played. And right now, crawling up their back, the Pittsburgh Penguins with 84 points. However, they've played one more game. So the Islanders are in good shape there. If the Islanders were to fall out of third in the Metro, then they'd have to deal with a wild card. And Detroit's got 84 points. Washington with 83. Flyers with 83. So Flyers, Washington, Pittsburgh all can catch the Islanders for third in the Metro, which would then drop the Islanders again down to the wild card where they'd have to worry about Detroit. So Islanders control their own destiny. They've got a game in hand on the Penguins. Same amount of games played as Washington, game in hand on Philadelphia. So the Islanders are in really good shape. Problem is they got two games against the Rangers, a team they've lost to already twice so far this year. So it's huge for the Islanders. For the Rangers, it's huge because I think everybody wants to avoid having to play Tampa in the first round. In order to do that, you've got to win the conference. Well, they've got a three-point lead on the Bruins for that. Both teams with 78 games played. The Rangers have a five-point lead on Carolina for first in the Metropolitan Division. So if the Rangers win tonight in regulation and the Carolina Hurricanes lose in regulation, Rangers clinch the Metro. However, you want Carolina to win tonight because guess who Carolina's playing?
Bruins.
The Bruins in Boston. So I think you'd rather widen your lead on the Bruins, and if you take care of business against the Islanders, you stay 5 points ahead of Carolina. And if Carolina wins, you'll have a five-point lead on Boston with three to play. And I think you're in great shape to be able to win the President's Trophy. Now, be careful what you wish for, Michael. You play this game in all sports, right? You know, we want this team. We don't want that team. I'm not saying they can't beat Tampa. But we've talked about it before. Tampa's kind of like the Miami Heat in the NHL. No matter where they finish, do you really want to have to play them in the first round when you can play a Philadelphia team that's fallen apart late? They've only won two in their last 10. Washington has lost six in a row. You know, Pittsburgh's been hot, four straight wins, but you know they're a team that I think the Rangers could handle, and they certainly can handle Detroit. They swept the season series with them. So those are the teams you probably would play, Michael, maybe even in the Islanders too, if you win the conference.
Now, but what's the scenario where they play the Islanders in the first round?
The way they would play the Islanders in the first round is if the Rangers were to win the conference and the Islanders were to drop to the last wild card, which is possible. The other way would be if Carolina caught the Rangers, they won the Metro, Rangers fell to second, Islanders finished third, then they would play the Islanders. But the more likely scenario for the Islanders and Rangers to play in the first round would be the Islanders to drop to that second wild card.
I'll tell you what, the Islanders, they live on the edge. Last year, the same thing. I mean, they can't get in easily.
No, they can't because they're not that great. I mean, no offense to the Islanders. They've been very streaky, and they've won four in a row, so credit to them. But, you know, they're still only 6-4 in their last 10. Take a look at some of these teams battling for playoff position, Michael. Detroit, 4-4-2 in their last 10. Now, Pittsburgh's been hot. But Washington, 3-5-2 in their last 10. Philadelphia, 2-5-3. Whoever finishes with that 8 seed is not going to be all that great of a team. And that's why I think you want, if you're the Rangers, to win the conference and see what happens there. Varlamov's making the start tonight, which is interesting because I think he's played better than Sorokin. Sorokin has always went up against Igor. So it doesn't look like that's going to happen with Varlamov making the start. And these two teams play on Saturday on national television at 12:30. On ABC on Saturday, so they will play again. So it should be a fun couple where you got both of these teams really controlling each other's destiny for the playoffs. And I'm hoping they both make it, Michael. The Devils fell off, so they're not going. I think it'd be great to get the Rangers and the Islanders to play. And if for some reason they were able to hook up and maybe play in the second round, I think that'd be phenomenal.
Now, the Knicks are also in a precarious situation as well. Things could be great for them. They're one game out of second. But they can also drop to eighth and have to be in the play. And we'll get into that a little bit later on as the Knicks play the Bulls tonight. And the Bulls beat them, obviously, last week. And now this is the second game of three that they're going to finish against the Bulls. They also have a game with the Boston Celtics in there as well. So it's kind of interesting. There's a lot of scenarios which we'll get into in just a moment. And also in just a moment, we're going to talk to Buster Olney, our very own Buster. And he's going to tell us what he's hearing about all the arm injuries in baseball. Well, I told you that my home needed a refresh, so I chose the painting professionals at CertaPro Painters. They're working now, and CertaPro Painters treats my home with as much care as I would. They are that careful around everything. They protected my floors and the carpeting on my staircase. Everything is clean and handled with care, including the scaffolding that they needed to use to reach everything. It was great. It was unbelievable. The precision and attention to detail as they paint every spindle of the staircase is exceptional. They take pride in what they do, and you could trust them to get the job done right. Now's the time to do the home painting project that you've been putting off. Why wait? From now through April 30th, CertaPro Painters is running its spring sales event. Special offers are available at participating locations. Each CertaPro Painters business is independently owned and operated by men and women who live in our community. They're a local business that you can support. Schedule your free estimate online at CertaPro.com. That's Certa, with a C when choosing a painting professional for your home or business, the choice really is simple. Choose happy. Choose Serta Pro Painters.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.